This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
If you live by your standards and you treat everyone with love and respect, that's the best way to longevity.
Good evening and welcome to Midnight Chats, the music interview podcast for late night listening. I'm Stuart Stubbs.
And I'm Greg Cochran.
And on tonight's show, Greg, is an old friend of yours. It's Joe Tolbert, the lead singer from Idols.
Yeah. Joe's the singer of the band and a rare returning guest, because Joe was last on the podcast in 2020 in the middle of the COVID-19 pandemic. That's episode 94 for anyone who wants to go back and check it out.
I've heard this episode, Greg, obviously, and it's great. It's a deep one. I was quite jealous because you got to go to Joe's house, and I love snooping around guests' houses. What was it like? What was his house like?
Yeah.
And how was the whole thing? Because it is, as I say, it's quite a deep conversation, this.
Yeah, his place is very stylish. So Joe lives in an apartment in Bristol here in the UK. I went to see him right at the very end of 2023. It was just before Christmas. He'd actually been to see his daughter's nativity play that morning. And you're right, it is quite a deep chat. And I think that's why a lot of people really resonate and get and like Joe. He's very candid, talking about things like parenthood and mental health, addiction and politics and the general state of the world. I'd love to know what people make of this.
If you're new to us here at Midnight Chats, please do give us a follow, give us a like, give us a nice positive review. Mainly though, tell a friend. That's the best thing you can do right now. Help spread the word of what Midnight Chats is. Before we get into this, Greg, there's two things I need from you.
Go on.
Tell me how good the new Idols album is.
The new Idols album is very good. It's called Tank and it's available everywhere now.
Excellent. And the other thing is, there was a few things that we just needed to clear up.
Yeah. So, first one's a bit of a warning. Joe loves a swear word. So if you're sensitive to those, this is just your official heads up. The Nigel that he mentions in this chat is Nigel Godrich, the producer for the likes of Radiohead in the past. And Kenny that he mentions is the songwriter and producer Kenny Beats. And the final thing is that the Afghan, if you're not familiar with that, that's the band's fan community. Hopefully that clears those things up for anybody listening.
Thanks very much, Greg. I feel ready for this now.
This is Joe Tolbert from Idols on Midnight Chats. Joe, welcome to the podcast. So good to have you on Midnight Chats again. And thanks for inviting us to your house. I mean, your hospitality is exceptional so far. We've got coffee, we've got biscuits.
Yeah.
Thanks. I feel like you've pushed the boat out a bit.
Well, you know, if someone comes into your home and you haven't got biscuits, what home is that? You know what I mean? No, yeah, but I don't know who taught me that. Someone recently was like, you've got to always have biscuits for guests.
I know. I think it's true. First things first, how are you doing? How's things?
Really good, yeah. I've been through it a bit recently, mental health-wise. not too recent, maybe a month ago. I was a bit, I've been sober for a while, and like, I don't know, it just things hit you, you know? And so I was going through it a bit, and then coming out of it, I started therapy again. And coming out of it was like a huge revelation for me, more than normal. So I'm good, I'm stable. And, you know, I'm very excited for this new album, Tank. And my kid is very healthy and happy and started school. And I've got to spend a lot of good time with her.
Yeah.
And the band, I think we're all hungry for a new tour, a different show, and new songs and a challenge. You can only go so far with a tour where it almost becomes too easy. And I mean that in the best way possible. It's the best thing in the world, as I've always said. No apologies. It gets easy and we don't like that. We like a challenge and we want to keep moving forward and getting better. And we're really good at what we do. So we want to be not as good. So we've got something to work towards.
I remember last time you came on the podcast, we were still in that weird mode where we were all coming out of COVID and we were talking about you all rehearsing for the Abbey Road live stream. And so there weren't any shows on the calendar at that point. No. Yeah, I know, that's rewinding a bit, isn't it?
I just remember how terrible they were.
Oh, really?
We were rusty, man.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
They were bad, yeah.
If it's not too much of a kind of invasive question to start with, to, you know, you kind of raised it there. Like, you and I have spoke quite a few times over the years, and you've had those periods where, like, you've had moments where you found things particularly difficult, and they've been like triggered by different things, and you've kind of like found pathways through it, and you've always been super transparent about that, and people very much relate to that. Have you got kinder on yourself over the last few years when you know those periods are coming, and like having been through it a few times? Do you, you know, is it does it continue to be hard every time? And
yeah, no, it gets, I don't know, it doesn't get easier, but I'm lucky. I'm very lucky. I'm privileged in more than one way. You know, I'm financially sound. I've got my health and I've got a support network of people that will listen and guide. I've got my dream job. I travel the world with my mates. I just said, yeah, I had a few problems recently, and I just had to solve them. It gets easier. I'm kinder to myself, yes, but maybe I wasn't that unkind, really, other than the obvious self-abuse. But I'm kinder to others. What I've learned in the past 4 years of being a father is that if you approach life with empathy, you get more out of it. So with that in mind, I approach things with empathy. I'm a lot more patient. I'm a lot kinder, I think. And really just learning to be vulnerable, practicing what I've been talking about. And it just takes a long time. These things don't happen overnight. And I've been learning a long time. And I'm in a flux of realizing just how much I have to learn. And that's beautiful and exciting. So I'm very grateful that I've had an audience that have allowed us to learn slowly.
We're going to talk a lot about what's to come throughout 2024. So many exciting things coming up, including a new album. But I just wanted to do a very brief and quick kind of rewind on 2023, because obviously you've been making a new album, but you have been doing some other things. One of the big things last summer was you played a show in London with Jamie T at Finsbury Park, amongst others. What have some of the standout moments of this year been for you?
Personal things, really. A few really like transitional moments of enlightenment in terms of what I want to do, where I want to be in life and how I'm going to get there. There's a lightness with this album campaign where I really, truly don't give a fuck what other people say or think about it. And that's not because I don't care. I care more than I ever have, but about the right thing. And that's being present within myself and how that music makes me feel and how fucking magic it's going to be to play it. The Jamie T show was beautiful because I got to see Jamie T and seeing someone almost come out of a cocoon and become this beautiful, vibrant human being on stage, it was a really lovely thing to see. And I think when you see your friends succeed, that's a Freudian drop there. But seeing other people succeed is a very uplifting feeling when you give a shit. So that was good.
Willie J. Healy and Jamie T and yourself, there's been talk of doing something together as we're talking about, Jamie, this is. Is that going to come into being at some point?
Yeah.
It's a soul record, right? Or a soul group and making some soul songs?
Well, yeah. Willie and I have met up, started writing stuff. Obviously, we hang out every week when we're both in town, ride our bikes together and stuff and do other things. But we're busy.
Yeah.
I want to call the project Perros Perdidos, which means lost dogs. I don't think they know that yet. I was like, oh, that's a sick name.
That is good.
And then like all our merch and stuff could be like lost dog posters. Sick, right?
Yeah, big time.
Yeah. So yeah, we got ideas. Well, like I was at Jamie's house quite a while ago now. And we started talking about sampling, and like sampling this tune that I love. And he just fucking got it up on YouTube, chucked it on his like sample pad. And I was like, this has got to happen now. I think because we're all very different versions of the same beast, which is that we're very different people, obviously, all three of us. Like, we're an odd trio, but we have the same intention and we have a lot of love and we all connect with soul music. So I think it would just be a great project to do, even just for ourselves if it doesn't come out. But yeah, it excites me, that idea. But then a lot of musical ideas excite me at the moment.
Yeah.
Thinking about, you know, I want to do a noise project, a techno thing with Bobo. Sorry, I'm going to stop calling him Bobo. It makes my shit itch when I hear someone else call him it. So I don't know why I do. Bowen. So there's plenty coming.
Sticking on this year and things that have happened this year briefly, you're in the States, you played runner shows with LCD Sound System, and then obviously James Murphy and Nancy Wang appeared on Dancer. That sounds like the stuff of dreams, obviously, to get to play with them and then to get to collaborate with them.
Yeah.
What did you take away from that experience of like being with them on the road, seeing them play, speaking to them, collaborating with them? Was there anything that you took away from that experience that you're going to kind of take into the future, if you like?
Absolutely, yeah. The first thing I'd say is as a touring company, they're doing it perfectly. They do the right amount of shows in the right venues. Everyone on that team that tour together, band, crew, everyone loves it because they're treated with respect. They're treated well. They're treated with comfort. And they're a family. And it's beautiful to see. And we joined them on a tour. And they treated us like family.
Mm.
And it's probably the best tour I've ever done. It was fucking magic.
Did you watch them every night?
No. I didn't see, I probably missed like one or two shows.
Mm.
But I watched them most nights. I'd normally watch the first and the last show of the support act. Mm. I don't want to overkill.
I was going to say, yeah, there must be a small... That's the difficult one to land on, isn't it? When you go on tour with a band that you love, kind of the temptation must be to watch them every night. But like you say, you could overkill.
Yeah, I mean, they are phenomenal live. And they're like us, there is no... They didn't divert from the set list. But they, you know, the nuances and the fluctuations, so to speak, are there. So it changes every night and it's great to see. My thing is that I get bored easily and I don't like being bored because the bored are boring, as my mum always said. So if I'm watching a support band, I don't watch it much because I've picked them because I love them.
Mm.
Every support band we've ever had.
Mm.
That's why next year is going to be a nightmare to pick them.
Too many to choose from.
Yeah, that I love, yeah. That have already put themselves forward. Yeah. I don't enjoy it. But yeah, so watching them was great. They're incredible, like, incredible live band. And watching their bassist who got ill and had to leave the tour. Them all pitch in, and Dev included, played a few songs every night. Which was a dream in itself. Like, you know, I've known that guy since he was 16. He was this beanpole with weird blonde hair and banging to speed. And like, we fell in love, you know? And to see this very insecure man end up on a stage playing with his favorite band was one of the most beautiful things I've ever seen. So that was cool. There's a lot of good things happened there. And it taught me that if you live by your standards and you treat everyone with love and respect, that's the best way to longevity, because you'll come out of it sleeping well at night as well as still doing what you love.
Yeah. Straight out of the gate, I want to say that I think Tank is my favourite Idols album. And that's not good. Because I'm here sat with you now and you've made me a lovely cup of coffee and given me a biscuit and shown me your lovely Christmas tree. It genuinely is amazing. And I cannot wait to be in a field next summer to just dance my backside off to that record. And it's got me really, really excited about next year, and it's got me really excited about music. In terms of the where you were at when you were writing this album, your kind of headspace, your mindset, it was clearly a shift from when you were writing the material for Crawler.
I was a lot more uncomfortable this time around. I was out of my comfort zone. Nigel's, you know, and Kenny are both very, they're vehemently against laziness, lackluster approaches. I mean, you know, it wasn't a challenge for them to get off of us. We're very fucking driven. And we don't like to sit around and do the easy option. And we like challenges. Every album we've set ourselves a theme and a palette and, you know, and a sense that we have to move forward in order to succeed, you know. But with this record, it was like we wish, you know, we're more and more privileged because there are fucking increments to this game. Suddenly you're getting paid 10 times more, you're spending 10 times more on your tours, you've got more time to record because you have more money. You can go to your heroes and ask them to work, and with that comes gratitude, and with that gratitude comes a sense of hard work. That's how you show you're grateful, by challenging yourself, moving forward, breaking things down and putting yourself to work. And like, that's the most exciting bit of our job, is that bit when you're really fucking changing things, breaking things down and moving forward. So this record was like the most that, because we had 3 weeks in the studio instead of two. And we were working with two of our favorite producers on the planet. You got to make that work, man. I came at it with insecurities. I didn't know if I was quite good enough for the writing process. I wrote a bunch of songs in the room with the boys in Bristol without Bowen, but they didn't really feel like there was this exciting, transgressive thing behind them that I wanted it to be. And I set this thing in my head where I was going to write lyrics before I went to the booth, because I did half the albums in the booth before that. Whereas I felt like, no, these songs deserve to be written before and really work at it, because I might be missing out on something. Do you know what I mean? Like, I might have written a better song if I'd have spent a month on it. And that's bollocks. And I realized that late. I was like, I didn't write a single word because I was busy writing the music. You know, I was writing the music with Bowen in London, in Nigel's studio in Brixton. And then it just got to a point where I was just like confused. I don't like displacement. I like all my ducks in a row. I like knowing where all my tools are. I like knowing where the exit is. And I like, you know, carrying in a knife just so I can open the packet myself and see what's inside. Do you know what I mean? Under 3 inches. or 2.5, isn't it? It's 2.5. But anyway, like, I wasn't comfortable. And it took me a while to realize that that's the point. But it was great. It was the most fruitful, the most learning I've done. And I've now, I mean, in terms of mental health and where I'm at in life, like, I'm not the same as I was with Crawler, man. Like, I was sober then, I'm sober now. I was drinking and doing drugs in between. I have a sense of excitement, a sense of, I have new perspective in our potential. Now, I'm sober. And I understand we have way more potential than we did before. Mm. And that's because of the two, and Bowen produced the record as well. But I have to have a different relationship with him than I do to Kenny and Nigel. Mm. But with those two, they really forced us to challenge ourselves.
When you talk about potential for the band, like calling back to like when I first met you and we came to Bristol and we walked around the sort of landmarks that meant a lot to the band at that point, like the flat that you lived in with Dev, the pub that you worked in whilst you were doing your first rehearsals, like the rehearsal space that you shared with, you know, the other Bristol bands and things like that. What then, you probably had a very different idea to like what the purpose and the potential of the band was to what you do now. So when you talk about purpose and potential of the band now, what do you think of?
Well, in terms of like why I started the band, it's exactly the same as it was then.
12 years ago? More than that,
14, something like that. Whenever I started the band, my intentions were to have something that was a channel or a bridge toward the universe and feeling connected with a people to feel like I was safe in the arms of something much greater than myself. That's always been the same, and it's the same today. What's changed is our musical potential. You know, I'm writing way more songs now than I was Ultra Mono, you know, because I realise that I can. Like, there's a lot of gatekeeping in music and art, you know. And that's often within, you know, it's within yourself. You gatekeep yourself. You know, you can't do that. Imposter syndrome. Mm. I don't have that really anymore. I just know that I've got a lot of work to do if I want to be what I want to be. And, you know, I've just got to time it well in between school drops and shit.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, I'm physically a lot fitter and stronger, which helps. The potential is musical. I want to achieve what my heroes achieved. There was a point, you know, where I found a channel to go down musically with the first two records. And then I realized that there's so many other facets to me as a human being that I want to express. So I've got to kind of burn that effigy of what everyone's made of idols in order to start again. We did that. And now we can do whatever the fuck we want.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Nobody wants to outlive their money, but it happens, especially for women. That's why Gainbridge offers the Parity Flex annuity. It's designed for women's unique retirement needs, with flexible withdrawals to help cover unexpected expenses, plus a guaranteed lifetime income benefit that keeps paying you even if your account balance is zero. In other words, it's like getting a paycheck for life. We'll say that again. A paycheck for life. Guaranteed. Sounds too good to be true? It's not. It's the Parity Flex annuity, and it's one more example of their commitment to creating a better financial future for women. One where they feel empowered, not excluded, and ready to take on whatever their next chapter holds. Gainbridge believes financial flexibility and security are things we all could use more of. At retirement income you can't outlive is the ultimate flex. Who's with us? Start saving now at Gainbridge.io. Please visit Gainbridge.io/ParityFlex for current rates, full product disclosures and disclaimers, and other important information.
On this album, Tank, like, I can hear the development of you on it. Like, I think there are a few moments where I was like, wow, Joe's doing something new there, or he's pushing himself. Yeah. And the one that was standing out to me was there's a track called Roy. And on there, I think, like, your vocal performance for me was like really reminiscent of like some of the great rock and roll singers, like Hamilton Lighthouser, who I know you're a fan of, Eddie Vedder. Those were the things that I was hearing in that song. And so I wondered if you felt like you pushed yourself further than ever before vocally on this.
Absolutely. Yeah. That was my intention way before the album started, from Crawler, really. Because, you know, Kenny comes from a place of his perspective as a student. But within that, you know, he's a fucking teacher. Do you know what I mean? Mm. He's incredible at what he does. He's just amazing. And, you know, you got to be a servant to the song, you know? And like, if I'm going about it, the reason why I kept shouting is because I was scared to sing. And that's not doing a song justice every time. Some deserve violence and some deserve grace. And that's where I'm at, you know? And I learned that from being given that time in the pandemic to really listen to myself. Do you know what I mean? That was just it. Like, I had loads of time on my hands and I wasn't going to waste it.
And there's two songs I wanted to talk about that I thought my interpretation might well be wrong on this, but would love to hear your thoughts of kind of, they're sort of love songs, but in a very different way. One is gospel and the other one is Hall and Oates, because they're about different relationships, my interpretation was. Mm-hmm. But both love in all of its difficulty and brilliance and acceptance and gratefulness were the kind of strands that I took from it.
Well, a gospel, Bowen wrote that in his house on his piano. The album is an iPhone recording. He's just chucked his phone on the top of the piano and played it. You can hear his kid in the background if you listen closely. And then they did another piano track on top that was a mechanical piano.
Right.
So no one actually played it. It was programmed.
Okay.
So there's two, like, very human and very, like, like metronomic thing. And it's beautiful as, you know, a product of Bowen and Nigel getting together, which was a great moment. And it's a song I wrote last, as in I wrote it in the studio, obviously, recording in France. And I left it to the last because I was so nervous about it, because I wanted to do it justice. Because it was like a, you know, Bowen's moment, you know, like that was a personal thing he did in his space, in his home. And something about that made me quite like, oh, I've got to do this one right, man. And I'm going to have to sing. Not like I was already singing, like I'd sang, that was the last track. So obviously sang all this shit. I'm like, I know I can sing. Like I had the you mentioned Roy, the chorus of Roy I've had for like 5 years. Like I've wanted to write that chorus for ages. Bowen did the verse in the bridge. And we were packing up, about to leave Nigel's studio. I was having a bad day. Every fucking day in Nigel's studio. honestly, I was such a little bastard. But I realized I was being a little bastard and got over it. It was everyone was packing up. And then I realized, that fucking chorus, that's it. Because the bridge was going to be the chorus. So I like literally John was already packing his drums away. I said, right, get back. I got this idea. Do this drum beat, blah, blah, blah. Wrote it in about 5 minutes, recorded it. And I sang it on the way home. So I'd written that bit, not the words, but the melody, that note in Baby. I was like, that's it. Started crying and driving home. I was like, fuck, I finally got that chorus in. And then what was the other one?
Hall & Oates. I wondered if that was about somebody like Dev, to be honest.
Well, it is someone like Dev. Yeah, Dev's like my brother. But it's about, this was a very much about me trying to turn a trope of love song into something else, which I like to do. And I've been doing since Brutalism, where like, I like to take something and, you know, like I kissed a boy and I liked it kind of thing. Not the most like profound transformative work, but like, I love it and I like playing with things and it's honest because that's who I am. So this was about the period where I met bunch of guys when I started cycling, Willie J. Healy, to be precise. One of them was Willie, where you fall in love with someone in a very platonic way, but you fall in love with someone who makes you feel great and they bring out something new in you, or they reinvigorate a part of you that you've forgotten. And he's a very youthful, bright, beautiful, tender man who's smart, and he's way better at songwriting than anyone else I know. An incredible songwriter and an incredible voice, and he likes boxing. So like, we just started hanging out, and it's a love song about falling in love with someone and you becoming that thing. And the reference to Hall & Oates is an ex-partner and myself would joke about, it wasn't my idea, it was her idea. She said that, like, you know, when you've fucked someone for the first time, make love to someone for the first time. And the next day, like, Hall & Oates is playing in your head all day and you're out kicking cans, like, yeah, yeah. It's like, it's that feeling. You get that feeling, like, there's this whole vibrant new episode to your life because you met someone. And I love that. And I think it's an important love song. It's an important message to celebrate these people. I want to say it like this because it's true. Men don't do this enough. You know, like, just declare your love for someone because they make you a better person. There isn't a woman or a man that you're in a romantic relationship with, but, you know, a friend. He's just like, I fucking love this person. And that's all right. There's nothing weird about that. And don't get me wrong, I mean, most people do, but I like to sing a song about it because I'm a musician.
Yeah, yeah, I love that track. It's a real standout for me.
I mean, the musical journey of that song was about 5 minutes long. I wrote it while I was taking a shit. And that's one of the only songs. No, there's a couple on the album that we wrote in the room, but that was one of them. And I was just on the toilet. I was like, it was a terrible writing session. We were just like, fuck, everyone was doing my head in. So I went to the toilet.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Nobody wants to outlive their money, but it happens, especially for women. That's why Gainbridge offers the Parity Flex annuity. It's designed for women's unique retirement needs, with flexible withdrawals to help cover unexpected expenses, plus a guaranteed lifetime income benefit that keeps paying you even if your account balance is zero. In other words, it's like getting a paycheck for life. We'll say that again. A paycheck for life. Guaranteed. Sounds too good to be true? It's not. It's the Parity Flex annuity. And it's one more example of their commitment to creating a better financial future for women. One where they feel empowered, not excluded. and ready to take on whatever their next chapter holds. Gainbridge believes financial flexibility and security are things we all could use more of. At retirement income you can't outlive is the ultimate flex. Who's with us? Start saving now at Gainbridge.io. Please visit Gainbridge.io/ParityFlex for current rates, full product disclosures and disclaimers, and other important information.
There was another song that I wanted to ask about, Grace, that's on the album. And I did wonder whether, like, the kind of explicit references to, obviously, no God, no king, I said love is the thing, no crown, no ring. Like, the period when that was written in, I mean, very, not, you know, I'm no Poirot, like, kind of, in terms of reading into that, I did wonder whether it was written in kind of the autumn of last year as the country was sort of, like, responding to the death of the Queen and all those kind of things, and, like, whether that was in your mind and how that made you feel and whether that came out of those moments.
Absolutely, yeah. I think when you become a parent, you know, there's a sense of the potential of what you would do to someone if they were to harm that person is so much more violent and terrifying than you can imagine when you're not a parent. And with that in mind, it also makes you realize just how much you want to fight for your child's future and just how disgusting, hypocritical, loveless the Tory government and the monarchy is. And it sends me into a place where I'm willing to do things should anyone step in the way of my kid having a good life, with love in it. And then, you know, you don't have to, I'm not saying, you know, it's like assuming that you have to be religious to fear a God to be a good citizen. I wanted these things before. It just highlights how sad it is when you have a child. You become more vulnerable because you're suddenly responsible for someone else. And that vulnerability is scary and it's infuriating. And you just suddenly realize, like, there's a lot our kids are going to have to fight for. A lot. And, you know, I wanted to write love and I wanted to be love and, you know, as bell hooks writes, you know, love is a verb, and you know it has facets of grace, empathy, commitment, kindness, and I think, you know, if you act with love and empathy, you're not painting a carriage gold to carry an unelected leader down a path whilst there's foodless food banks. You're not shaking hands with Netanyahu, sanctioning or allowing a genocide in Gaza, and you're not whatever. It's a fact, you know, you're not desperately seeking to leave a union, and you're not desperately seeking to attack and blame a group of people for anything. You're looking to come at, solve a problem with empathy and grace.
I feel like I've said this a lot the last few years, but it's a bit like, next year's a big year. It could be a year of, like, big change. 2024 potentially will be a year of big change. There's going to be a general election in the UK. There's going to be a US election. Yeah. I can tell just from the way that you're exhaling there that you feel apprehensive about that.
Yes. One thing that people are obsessed with now is making change on this platform they call social media. They think that it's a big platform, but it's not. De-sanctioning bodies that allow you to express yourself are making sure that platform is very small. Very small. You're seeing what they allow you to see, which is what you want to see, what you are hungry for, which is a sugary fix in a political fucking nightmare. So I am well aware that what I see is maybe not what's going on. And I'm no longer barking at the tree. I'm looking at the roots. I fucking pray. I am praying that this circus ends by people. And you know what? All this noise that people make around the world is that general elections are the only place to really make a change. to start anyway. But this country and the way it's set up, you know, you've got a House of Lords. That's insanity. House of Lords is insanity. I try and explain that to an American and they look at me like, and this is someone with the Senate and lobbying is invented there, you know, lobbying. And they're looking at me like, you poor bastard. Mm. And I'm like, yeah, it's fucked. They're inheriting and buying seats in our parliament. That's fucking corruption, right? Is it not? I hope, obviously, blah, blah, fucking blah. I hope that it starts with the Labour government. And I hope that that's the start of something. Unfortunately, this country always has to be on the edge of collapse before people really realise who's to blame. But the problem with left-wing politics is, and I'm not talking about centrist left, I'm talking about proper left-wing politics, is that's a 50-year plan, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And we definitely don't have that. So I don't know. I don't know. But I am hopeful, yes. I have optimism, yes.
What role do you think that music broadly has in the potential of the run-up to something like an election in the UK? I mean, last time we saw it, like, a lot of the music community mobilised behind the Labour Party, Jeremy Corbyn, etc.
Yeah.
So will that happen again, do you think?
Behind Keir Starmer.
It's slightly different, isn't it?
Yeah, I was really excited by it. But like, me and my dad, I'm going to talk way before he got voted in, because he's like, you know, he was a cutthroat in the law, you know? And I thought, oh, that might be. Not the law as in police, obviously. I think it was a solicitor. I can't remember. My dad was telling me about it. Anyway, you know, the idea of someone who's good at debate and actually fight on that side of the room for once. But he seems to be the opposite of that. It's just centrist bollocks, isn't it? Do I think the music community... I mean, you do what you can do. Like, you know, in terms of a general election, like we tried to, we were flying back to the UK and Bernie Sanders campaign asked us to play for that. And we were like, oh, we're going home, fuck. And we couldn't afford to like stick around and like, it was crazy money. And then, oh no, I can't remember, we just couldn't do it. And then recently it was for the pro-Palestine march, they asked us to play for the Corbyn, around a Corbyn, one of the Corbyn speeches, mm-hmm. and we were already in Turkey. So this was painful, like you want to do these things, and it would be great. That sort of thing is like, you know, it's the same as going on a march. You just add feet to that, and the presence is the blessing there. You know, you just got to try and add numbers so that they see you, you know? They can't ignore you as an entity. I think, you know, it's about, this is what I mean about algorithms and arguing your political sense is like, idols are not followed by the populace. We do not have, you know, we're not in the world of, you know, we're not played in the range. We're not played in between Ant and Deck or whatever. You know, we're not in that world, so... You know, when Stormzy gets behind Corbyn, that's sick because there's a huge amount of people there that are behind Stormzy. Like, we don't have that sense of fame. So we will try, but obviously it's just better when, like, Adele does it. And that's what I want. I'd rather Adele was doing it than me. It's up to everyone to chip in with whatever they want. Or not at all. It's none of my fucking business.
Yeah.
Do I think music can make a difference? Yes. If it allows people to connect between themselves, that's all I can do is offer a bridge of like feeling. That's what music is. It's a universal language of feeling. Connection to the world, connection to other people. Mm-hmm. I hope we're giving that.
I want to finish on the note of talking about community because I've always loved watching the activity of the AF gang over the years and how that community has developed and supported and surrounded the band. And I just wondered whether you had any particular stories that have come from that community, like we're talking how it's developed 6-7 years on, that have really touched you, that have really warmed your heart to know like, oh, through a connection with our band, certain things have happened. People have met, they've gone to a gig where they didn't have somebody to go to a gig with before, or whatever it might be. I just wonder if there are any particular stories that have just landed with you that you've thought, we're doing something significant because without us, that thing wouldn't exist.
A lot of men have messaged me privately saying, and I don't read much anymore just because I don't have the mental space for it. But I used to get messages of men telling me that I had given them a sense of strength to be vulnerable and to change. That's a beautiful thing. And that's all I'm really interested in. It's like helping people feel connected and be open and vulnerable. Because again, you come out the world with vulnerability and empathy and love. I feel that that's only going to go one way.
Midnight Chats is a joint production between Loud and Quiet and Atomized Studios for iHeartRadio.
It's hosted by Stuart Stubbs and Greg Cochran, mixed and mastered by Flo Lines, and edited by Stuart Stubbs.
Find us on Instagram and TikTok to watch clips from our recordings and much, much more. We are Midnight Chats Pod.
For more information, visit loudandquiet.com.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cb for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Hey guys, you know what this playground could use? A wine country, huh?
A redwood forest would be cool.
Ski slopes!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you, from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.